For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Celeste Simmons. I'm here today with Amy Hanks, a professor of chemistry here at BYU Idaho. She's also our devotional speaker this week. Thank you so much for coming in and meeting with me, Sister Hanks.
Thank you for inviting me.
So your talk for the devotional is titled, Who Do You Want to Be? Why did you choose to title it this, and why did you choose to talk about self-identity and finding out who we are?
This is something that has been an adventure in my life, and everyone I talk to, it's been an adventure in their life. If you talk to anyone who's a little bit older, most of them had a plan for their life when they were in their teens and 20s, and hardly ever does it go exactly as planned. And so wanted to share some of the experiences that I had had throughout my life and things that have helped me get through those to help students understand and other people who are listening understand that just if everything doesn't go exactly as you planned, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
Let's see. You say here, you talk towards the beginning of your talk, you say that you just decided to change your educational goals, that you decided to get a master's degree after graduation, and then after that you were hired as a faculty member at Ricks College at the time. And I love seeing women progress in their education. I think that's something so cool and admirable, and just exceed their educational goals. How has receiving your higher education been a part of your spiritual journey?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm going to kind of break that up into a couple of parts. So first of all, I wouldn't have decided to go higher in education without praying about it and knowing that was the right thing for me to do in my life. There are many people I know who received a bachelor's degree and were able to do what they wanted to do and are just fine. But for me, the plan that Heavenly Father had for my life, getting a master's degree and allowing me to come and teach at Ricks, which then became BYU Idaho, was where Heavenly Father wanted me to be. Education, I think any form of education, enhancing your mind, understanding how the world works, can help you spiritually. Often, especially out in the world, those seem like two dichotomous relationships that religion and education don't really intermix. But Heavenly Father created our world and created us and created all of the things, animals, plants, everything in the world. And the more that we can learn about that, for me personally, it helps me have faith that there was a creator, that this just didn't happen, that we didn't just spontaneously appear, that there had to be a creator creating the world. And as we learn about things, there's a common phrase in science, the more you learn, the less you know. The more we learn, where I teach chemistry, the more we learn about chemistry, and especially chemistry, biochemistry, the chemistry of the body and the chemistry of plants and animals, it's pretty amazing to think that that would just spontaneously occur, that it wasn't a guided, created, instead of just occurring. And so for me, science is actually, and learning can be spiritual, because it helps me understand and recognize that there is a higher power, my Heavenly Father, in the things that He has done.
You say later on in your talk, you mention how members of the church in the early days during the restoration of the church asked Joseph Smith for revelation about what they should do, and how the answer was usually to be faithful, and you say to stand in the office which I have appointed to you, which is what he says. And then you say that these offices were different for people based on their talents, spiritual gifts, and what Heavenly Father needed to build His Latter-day Church. But we aren't left alone to fulfill our offices. The Lord is always there to help us fulfill the callings that He's asked us to fulfill. And how have you called upon the Lord to help you fulfill the roles and offices that He has given you throughout your life?
Oh, that is a, for me at least, it's an almost constant calling on the Lord. Both my work office of teaching, knowing how best to teach specific topics to students who are struggling, knowing how maybe, oh, this didn't work in class, what are some ways I could do it better? When I talk to students individually in my office, getting to know their stories a little bit and maybe helping understand where they are and giving them suggestions of how they can make choices or changes and move forward with the help of our Heavenly Father and the Holy Ghost. And then personally, just all the decisions I have to make in life, I look at my life and my life is very challenging in many ways. I am single, I live alone, which can be very lonely. A lot of the time, there's sometimes it's not too bad because I get to make all the choices, but other times it's very lonely. And if I didn't have the presence of the Holy Ghost and know that there was a Heavenly Father who loved me and cared about me, someone to talk to all the time, it would be even lonelier. And then in just other decisions, like last summer, my car was 15 years old and I had to make the decision of, do I keep putting money into this car and fixing it, or do I buy a new car? And being able to pray about that, I did my research. I looked up all sorts of things, but did my research and to pray and to get the inspiration of what the right path for me to take would be. I read in a book once, I don't even remember what book, but someone was praying and because something was happening. And then like a few chapters later, they finally said amen to their prayer. And I that really kind of, at the time, I was a teenager at the time when I first read that. And I have kind of learned to live my life that way. I say my specific prayers, but I kind of have a prayer in my heart all day of, okay, what should I be doing now? What's going on? How should I handle this situation, whether it's at work or at home or with my family or with my calling? And just having that relationship with Heavenly Father and that open communication just helps me make the constant millions of decisions that you have to make every day.
So obviously throughout your talk, you're talking about the different paths that we can take in finding our self-identity and putting trust in the Lord as we make important decisions throughout our life. And you say that just because they are different, meaning other people in our lives and their paths, doesn't mean one of us is right and the rest are wrong. Just kind of emphasizing that point that everyone has a different path to take and that none of them are right or wrong, that God has an individual plan for everyone. And I think a lot of times it's hard to remember that and to think, oh, this person is doing this, but I'm doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe I should be doing more of what they're doing. And we just get caught in comparing ourselves to others, which comparison is a thief of joy. And that's not what God wants us to be doing. How can we find confidence in our uniqueness and the plan that God has for us and avoid comparing ourselves to others?
That is a really hard, that is a really hard thing. And it's something, at least for me, where I am not married, which has been one of the extreme challenges of my life. I had to learn this fairly young because I go to a church where marriage and family is extremely important, which is as it should be, because that is Heavenly Father's plan for us. And so I had to learn fairly young, like mid-20s, that I had to be okay with being different from everyone around me, but not isolate myself from everyone around me. Because if I had chosen to do that, I would have chosen to stop going to church. And I'm not saying it's easy, it's hard. you have to find the confidence in yourself that you are okay. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but it's okay being different. When I tell people that I teach chemistry, they're just shocked and amazed. They're like, oh, that's so hard. And for me, it's easy. It makes sense in my brain. But my response to most people is, well, if everyone was a chemist, the world would be very boring. So I think it's important to recognize that your unique talents and abilities, or what you are interested in, even if it's different from other people, it's okay. I hope that everyone can find a few people that are their group or their tribe or whatever you want to call it, that they can share some of the things they enjoy with. Finding those people is always helpful. But you just have to get to the point where you're okay with who you are and where you are, with the knowledge that there will always be some change and you always need to be improving and growing. But it's really hard to be different from everyone else. I sit alone at church every Sunday, and it's really hard. But to me, going to church and taking the sacrament and fulfilling that and renewing that covenant that I have, it's worth being alone in a building full of families to do that.
Thank you. You talk a little bit about how the Holy Ghost speaks to us, and I think that's one of our lifelong pursuits. So I wanted to ask you, what is your advice for learning how the Holy Ghost speaks to us?
Try different things. You just have to try different things. For me, it's mostly small feelings. I very, 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 like, there's maybe twice in my life, like, I've actually heard a voice in my head or something like that. It's feelings. So you just have to try different things, pray about something, and then you have to be cognizant of what's happening and reflect on it. So does someone else say something that resonates in your mind, or do you get a feeling, or that? I know people who receive the revelation in dreams. That is not me. I just have nightmares, which are not revelation. So you just have to try different things. I also think for some people, it's not everyone, but sometimes your patriarchal blessing will give you hints. Mine does. I was actually reading it yesterday, and I had forgotten a part that had said about how I will hear the still small voice. And so your patriarchal blessing is a good one. And then it's like a little experiment. It's like what Alma says, you try something and you see what happens. And if that doesn't work, then try something else and see what happens. Another thing I would highly recommend is going to the temple. There is something about being in the temple where it is a dedicated building that revelation comes clearer, no matter how you receive revelation, except maybe in dreams, that you probably shouldn't dream in the temple. For me, at least, my mind is more open and clear when I'm in the walls of the temple than when I'm outside, and I can hear easier. It just flows easier. And so spend time in the temple, because there aren't as many distractions, and you'll probably recognize it easier.
You share a quote from Elder Richard G. Scott, and I love this quote. I've heard it before, and I'll just read it again. He states that when you are living worthily and your choice is consistent with the Savior's teachings, proceed with trust. God will not let you proceed too far without a warning impression if you have made the wrong decision. And then you kind of talk about making decisions, especially that have to do with some things that are spiritual and even temporal decisions, and how we should involve the Lord in that, in our decision making. But sometimes when we are making decisions, we need to have patience in waiting for an answer, which is something so hard because as humans, we are so impatient and we just want a quick and easy answer, and then, you know, we'll go on with our lives. But that's not always what the Lord has in mind for us. He wants us to practice our patience. So what is your advice when we are in a waiting stage of our lives? How can we wait for answers patiently?
Oh, gosh, I'm not a very patient person myself. So this is a challenge for me. I think the thing that Elder Scott says is you have to move forward. You just have to keep moving forward and taking steps. And then if you're headed in a completely wrong direction, you'll receive a warning impression. Patience is hard. I say at another point in my talk that I actually have a list of why did this happen questions that I'm going to ask when I get to the other side of the veil. There are things that I still don't know why I received that revelation, or why I didn't receive that revelation, or why this happened or this happened. It is hard, especially in the age we live in where we can Google just about anything and get an answer right away, that you just have to move forward. You can't be paralyzed by indecision. Just move forward. Just be close to the Spirit. And as Elder Scott said, you'll hear a warning impression. I also think that Heavenly Father isn't necessarily going to guide our every step, that we can make decisions, and unless it is going to cause severe harm to ourselves or others, physical or spiritual or some other form of harm, that he might just let us move forward. And unless there is a very specific reason why we shouldn't be doing that, it's okay to just move forward and keep going.
Thank you. Well, that was my last question for you, but I enjoyed talking with you today, Sister Hanks, and I think this is a wonderful talk, and so I'm glad that we could kind of dive deep and kind of dissect it a little bit more. So thank you so much for answering my questions and meeting with me today.
Thank you very much.